Okay, so this will potentially be the start of a new series, but we try and go in depth on different aspects of the Jack the Ripper case. There won't be any answers as to who the Ripper actually was, but I'm hoping that we can outline some suspects and possible motives, and also bring to light the lives of the women he killed. The Ripper is probably the most famous serial killer of all time. He's believed to be definitively linked to 5 murders, which we'll discuss in these videos. However, he's also been linked to various other murders around the same time period, which may or may not have been done by the Ripper himself. Another point I want to make is that whilst doing research for this case, it's become clear to me that the prejudices and sexism of the time had a huge impact on even our modern day perception of the case, and these prejudices have become so ingrained over the years as facts that it's blurred the lines of the Whitechapel murders even further. For example, in the podcast by Hallie Rubenhold called Bad Women, The Ripper Retold, Hallie goes in depth into the perception of women at the time, and how almost any woman who didn't fit into the accepted social model at the time could have been labelled a prostitute by police without any evidence of the woman actually selling sex, which becomes evident from the Polly, or Mary Ann Nichols, murder, where the best evidence we have of her being a prostitute comes from a time where she didn't have money for the doss house she was trying to stay in, and was last heard saying, quote, "I'll soon get my doss money, see what a jolly bonnet I've got now." Many have inferred this as Polly selling herself for money. However, there are many other ways she could have earned this money. The fact she mentions her jolly bonnet also leads us to think she may have been pawning her bonnet for money, or even begging on the streets of Whitechapel. However, over the years, the narrative that Polly and many other of the women who were murdered were prostitutes has become fortified. As well as this, there was a large Jewish community in London at this time, and a lot of racial tension, especially in the poorest part of the East End, which we'll go into more detail in other videos. This could be another reason for the bias within the police force at the time and the suspects they chose to look into. I think I've now set up how, over the years, for the reasons I've stated, and many more, have led to the waters being muddied by the history books, and how it can be hard to see the forest for the trees, so to speak. The idea I would like to speak about today is the idea that the Ripper was actually caught mid-murder red-handed. On September 29th, a standard Saturday meeting was held at a socialist club, which is kind of like a working men's club, on Berners Street, and this meeting came to an end just before midnight. Some members of the meeting went back home, and the others stayed out drinking. Half an hour later, at roughly 12:30, on the 30th of September now, Joseph Lave left the building through a side entrance to get some fresh air, which led into a side road named Duffield Yard, to which he stayed for about 10 minutes. Only a few moments after, he'd returned back inside the building, and a man named Morris Eagle went inside the building through the same entrance and had just returned from escorting a woman back home. It's important to note that neither of these two men noticed anything at all. Just 20 minutes later, a man named Louis Dameshoes, the steward of the clubhouse, could be heard on a horse and carriage coming down the same road. As he turned into the Duffield Yard, his horse veered to the right. Louis got off the horse and lit a match to see a woman's body laying on the ground. Without knowing whether she was drunk or dead, he rushed into the clubhouse to check that his wife was okay and quickly returned with others. The woman's throat was cut and a stream of blood was trickling down the yard. The men spread out to find a police officer, whilst a crowd of bystanders waited for the police to arrive. Less than 1 kilometer away, about 900 meters, the body of another woman was found by a police officer on patrol at Mitre Square at 1:44 a.m. That is just 44 minutes after the first body was discovered at 1 a.m. Reportedly, the second woman's body was ripped up and she was laying in a pool of blood. Two doctors were soon at the scene of the crime and found terrible wounds to the woman's face, throat, and abdomen. Reportedly, the abdomen was all exposed, the intestines were drawn out to a large extent and placed over the right shoulder, and the lobe and auricle of the right ear was cut obliquely through. The doctors believed that this woman had died merely minutes before her body was located. The other two doctors at Berners Street, at the scene of the first murder, believed that this woman had also been killed just minutes before being discovered too. Here's where the idea that the Ripper was interrupted comes into play. The first woman would later be identified as Elizabeth Stride, and although her throat was cut, there was no typical Ripper mutilations on the body that we see with his other murders. However, with the second body of the woman who would be identified as Catherine Eddowes, we have reports that her body was mutilated. which leads many to the conclusion that the Ripper was caught mid-killing or was spooked away during his first murder of Elizabeth Stride, and in a frenzy went 1 kilometer west of Bernard Street to hunt his next victim, Catherine Eddowes. The leading theory to this day is that Louis Deemshoes disturbed Jack the Ripper mid-murder when coming down Bernard Street and onto the road the Socialist Club was on, and due to the layout of the Duffield Yard, there's a high possibility that the killer was trapped within the yard, as the gate on Bernard Street was the only way in and out. It's likely that the killer escaped when Louis Deemshoes ran inside the Socialist Club to check on his wife, and by the time he'd returned with others, the Ripper had escaped, meaning the killer was likely only seconds and a few feet from being caught red-handed. Of course, all of this is merely speculation and guesswork. However, the chances of the two murders being connected, and the Ripper being trapped just feet away from the first murder site at Duffield Yard, seem very plausible connections to be made. I think when discussing these horrific murders of Jack the Ripper, we sometimes forget that these incidents happened to real women, and it affected real families. The lives of these unfortunate women, and the circumstances that led them to being on the impoverished streets of Whitechapel, doesn't take away from them having real lives and real stories, and from many accounts, being very strong and resilient characters. If you'd like to see more videos like this, and more aspects of the Jack the Ripper case, then let me know. There's a few ideas I've got already. Thanks for watching.